Blog Talk Radio.
Flash it! New thing! This is the song. Got two lyrics. Very simple and plain. We can all sing together. No ass to feel left out. Join in. This is a song that people need to be singing right about now. When they're telling you that you can't, you shouldn't, you won't.
Somebody loves them. So, we're going to get started. So, you know, this week I got a lot of get off my mind. I just want to get that off my chest because this is the time to be vocal, not to sit back. Okay? So,
give a warm death force to welcome to Mike Booker.
I haven't even begun to spill my life stories onto these pages. Some people saying they know how hard it must have been, and I'm asking myself how. Because you heard a couple of my poems, we learned the time the gunshots, they happen so much. 7:45, 9:17, 11:23, 1:36 in the morning, nigga, every night, ducking below window sills. My grandmother used to tell me, be grateful for what you got. Some people got it rougher than you. And I couldn't see how when the lights and heat didn't work, had to walk to the dinner table with a candle and two blankets on just to keep warm. We ate peanut butter sometimes so we won't go to bed hungry. I lived between danger and a stop sign. Learned the streets backwards, I was outside so much. Better yet, learned the streets better than the back of my hand. Better yet, learned the streets better than the back of my father's head, because that's all I ever saw. Once, when I was 15, I went with Chris to go shoot at some niggas over his baby moms, and the gunshot missed my chest by 6 inches. While I listened to the stories that rotated around the neighborhood blocks like squad cars, Lil Jerry, his three brothers, four younger sisters, had to sleep on cardboard boxes in the garage at the end of my alley because his mother did drugs too bad. Miss Adams down the street had six sons. All of them sold drugs. Neither one of them ever saw age 19. The youngest killed a week before his 19th birthday. And you wonder why it's a curse to be stuck here forever? School never meant nothing to me because everybody from Kinsey to Cicero was on welfare. The property tax was so low, teachers fresh from college would come work at my school for 2 months so they could get a job somewhere in the suburbs. So they could put on their resume, I worked in the inner city like they was in the trenches of war. And you think we didn't know what was happening when we had four different fifth grade teachers analyze my life and tell me how many opportunities I've had to break down stereotypes. The first thing I learned how to count was drug money. My hood is full of kings and queens who evolved into some peasants over the time span of 500 years. My ancestry was ripped away from me, replaced with guns and drugs, thugs and crackheads, misdemeanors, felonies, and jail bars. But my grandmother used to tell me, you got a roof over your head, clothes on your back, food in your stomach. Be grateful for what you got. Some people got it rougher than you.
Give it up with Mike Booker, y'all.
Yeah. Doesn't that make you just feel good inside? You see, he's speaking from the heart, ladies and gentlemen. From the heart. That's what it takes, just a little bit. That's just a little bit. He's speaking from the heart. Does not mean he doesn't know what's going on, but he had to share that moment. He had to share the moment with you. First, what he did was he brought you in. He didn't sound so educated like most. But let me tell you, by the end of his poem, I guarantee he got your attention. There was an idea of love there, sadness, tragedy, hope, inspiration. You see, we can learn some things from our senior citizens. We can. We need to spend that time, okay? I needed to share that because, that's just how I am. You know what I'm saying? That's how I do things. And whatever. So, let's get busy and do what we do, right? Sure, here we go. You can find me on Facebook at george.mango.904. You can also find me at Sound Off Forums on Facebook. You can find me at Twitter at hashtag SoundOff97413. You can also find me on my personal website, www.soundoffforums, that's 3 F's and a S at the end, .com, .net, .org, or however you want to find me. And you can call in anytime or email me. First, I'll give you my email. You can email me anytime at soundoff97413@gmail.com. That is soundoff97413@gmail.com. You can always call in and voice your opinion at 347-989-1014. That's area code 347-989-1014. And as we always do it and kick it, we're going to do Ephesians 6, King James Version, 6-13. Not with eye service and man pleasers, but the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. And ye masters do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of the persons within him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having all done to stand, and let the church say, Amen. This is how we do it, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to keep it rolling, okay? So, as we jump into the subject mode, I want you to listen to this. This clip real quick, and then we'll talk about it, okay?
But first up, he is a journalist who's got a new book out called Dirty Wars, and his documentary of the same name debuts June 7th. Our friend Jeremy Scahill. Jeremy Scahill, still alive, are you?
Nice to see you, my man.
How you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, good to be in America. Oh, God, I watched your documentary. You were all over some real bad places, huh?
You're very big in Somalia, Bill.
Really?
Somali warlords are always up on, you know, Friday watching you.
I don't know if that's a vote of confidence, but you really have made a kind of a living there poking at the military-industrial complex. You must have some people who really hate you. Some scary people who hate your fucking guts.
I can... I'd be happy to share my inbox with you. You know, I mean, I'm sure you get your share of these emails. Mine happen to come from scary military types.
No, I think it's great. I mean, your thing on Blackwater was great. And now, I mean, this thing is about something called JSOC, which I was not even aware of. If you had said to me JSOC, I would think that was like Snooki's roommate or something. What does JSOC stand for now?
The Joint Special Operations Command.
Joint Special Operations Command. And the SEALs, the Navy SEALs who got Bin Laden, they're under JSOC?
Right. So JSOC is sort of like the military's all-star team. It's the elite of the elite.
Right.
It's Navy SEAL Team 6, Delta Force guys, Army Rangers, helicopter pilots called the Night Stalkers. And, you know, so we know everything about that Bin Laden raid that happened, even that there was a Belgian Malinois named Cairo and the story of Khalid sticking his head out and getting... Well, the dog that was with them was a Belgian Malinois named Cairo.
Right, yes.
But, you know, that night there were dozens of other raids that happened in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Yeah,
and, I mean, these guys are basically the most elite hunter-killer team.
I mean, the way we fight now is so different than the way we used to fight. Drones, assassinations, torture, and night raids, I imagine, are not a very popular thing with the local populace.
Right. I mean, what's happening on a nightly basis in Afghanistan is that there's a war within the war. You know, we see what happens with the Marines because of embedded journalism, but every night SEAL teams go out, Delta Force guys go out, and they're hunting down people that are on kill lists in Afghanistan, and they will kick down a door and go into a place where they think there's a Taliban commander, and sometimes they do get a Taliban commander or an Al-Qaeda guy. But a heck of a lot of times, and this is what I found on the ground in Afghanistan, we're bumping people off based on intelligence that's been fed to the U.S. military from people that are mad because someone stole their goat, you know, 10 years ago. And so, they three guys, and this is all it is. It's three what are called HUMINT reports, human intelligence reports. So three guys from one family that have a grudge against another will actually go to the American military base, and they'll say, oh, you know, this guy over in Paktika province, he's a Taliban commander. And then the next day his cousin goes, and he goes, I think that they're preparing a suicide bomber. And then on a third day someone goes, and they say, you know, these guys are going to orchestrate an attack against your base. Boom, it goes into action. The guys go down, they kick down the door. I mean, we tell the story of one raid where they end up going in on bad intelligence. The most elite unit, this is the president's elite force. They kick down the doors of a family in this village. They end up killing a senior police commander who had spent his career fighting against the Taliban. They kill two pregnant women. And then instead of realizing that they had, you know, screwed up, they then dig the bullets out of the women's bodies and then blame it on the Taliban and say that they stumbled into this killing. And then after that story fell apart, they said, oh, well, it was actually an honor killing and that the family had done it themselves. Well, we discovered, we got tapes of the U.S. soldiers in the room. We went down and talked to the family and discovered that it was, in fact, this elite U.S. military unit that had done this raid and that they had covered it up. And when they realized, you know, when this came to public light, Admiral William McRaven, who is the most powerful figure in the U.S. military today, he is the commander of all special operations forces, shows up in this village with a bunch of Afghan soldiers and two sheep. And he offers to sacrifice the sheep as sort of an act of asking for forgiveness. And we talked to that family. You know what they said? We loved the Americans before this. We were fighting on your side. Here are pictures of my training certificates and our family members with U.S. soldiers. I want to put on a suicide vest and blow myself up among the Americans. They said they wanted to stab McRaven when he came to their house, and their local imam said, don't do it.
So how anecdotal is this? I mean, do you think that this is widespread? Do you think this is actually becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy that we're fighting terrorists that we're basically creating?
Right. I mean, there is no doubt that there are people in the world that want to bring down our airliners, that want to poison our water supply. All that stuff is going on a, you know, on a daily basis. There are people plotting.
Right.
We, though, in the pursuit of this small group of people, and they are small, they represent no existential threat to us, I believe that we are making more enemies than we are killing terrorists because of so many innocent civilians that have been killed in these drone strikes, in these night raids. But I also, my friends in the military, no one knows why we're in Afghanistan anymore. Why are we risking all of these American lives in Afghanistan? I mean, it's absolutely pointless. And people in the military know this. It's just that the political leaders don't seem to.
From reading what you say, you think Obama's worse than Bush.
I think that one of the enduring legacies of the Obama administration is that he has normalized assassination as a central component of U.S. what's called national security policy. He's also sold the Bush-Cheney policies to liberals. I don't think for a minute you would see polls, 70% of liberals like drone strikes, if Grandpa McCain had won that election. I just don't believe that for one second. So, you know, the constitutional law professor, Nobel Peace Prize winning, popular Democratic president, is the guy who said assassination is here to stay. And I think that's going to be one of his enduring legacies.
And the one guy we killed, he did, is Waukee.
Right, who was an American citizen.
Who's an American citizen who was preaching all sorts of horrible jihad.
Yeah.
I mean, you would admit that. You're kind of easy.
You don't need to enter. I mean, admit it. I think he did reprehensible. He called for the assassination of a young cartoonist in Seattle, Washington, for drawing a picture of the Prophet Muhammad.
And today it came out that the Boston bomber guy said he was influenced by it.
Well, I mean, Al-Awlaki's name popped up in all of these terror investigations because of his speech. You know, the U.S. was saying, well, he's inspiring lone wolf terrorists. And he basically got put on the kill list, and there was smoke around him. Was he involved with the underwear bomber? He praised the Fort Hood shooter, Nadal Hassan.
But they also killed his son.
And so,
why did they kill Al-Awlaki's son? Because he was 16 years old. He was just at a picnic, right? I mean...
Right. I mean, first of all, you know, Al-Awlaki was never indicted, never charged with a crime. No public evidence presented against him. He was assassinated on orders of the president. I mean, I think we define our society by how we treat the most reprehensible of our citizens. Like, if we don't believe in due process and we instead want to have the posse with pitchforks going to, you know, kill the Tsarnaev kid in Boston, then we should say we're in a different country. Killing Al-Awlaki's son, this is a 16-year-old kid born in Denver, Colorado. I got to know that family. I was Facebook friends with this kid. He had a huge afro that his grandfather was telling him to cut all the time. He would hang out with his friends in Change Square during the revolution. And he was like this goofy kid who loved hip-hop and being an older brother. He had run away from home to look for his dad. His dad gets killed.
But I'm sorry to interrupt you, the Boston bomber looks like a goofy kid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but this is a kid, though, who, I got to know that family very, very well. He had nothing to do whatsoever with terrorism. And you know,
so it's kind of a future crime. It's almost
pre-crime.
Like Minority Report
it's pre-crime
stuff.
So what happens is this kid is his dad gets killed. He's in this restaurant 2 weeks later with his teenage cousins and their friends, and a drone appears over it and blows them up. The White House has never explained why they killed this kid. And to this day, Obama's never been asked about it. And when Robert Gibbs, who at the time was the senior spokesman of the Obama re-election campaign, was asked about it, Gibbs said he should have had a more responsible father. I mean, I think there's few things in history more shameful than blaming the killing of a child on who their parent was. So, I mean, I think for us, we crossed the line the two-week period when President Obama authorized operations that killed these three American citizens. And you know, it's not about who Al-Awlaki was. He could be guilty of everything they've ever accused him of. It's about who we are as a society. And if we're going to kill our own people without even charging them with a crime, well, then we should just say we live in a different country and stop telling the world that we're the sort of great shining city on the hill.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you heard that. I think that things could be a lot better if we take it and we look at it through a wider lens. I would say we can't judge a president based off of his good intentions. Listen, good intentions don't get you nowhere. I had an epiphany last night when I was laying down, and it is when it comes to when it comes to politicians, you go in with the right idea, but when you sit or when you put your hands to this oath, you find out it is a different world. For example, you have always wanted to be a singer, and you finally get your chance to be a singer professionally. And when you get that chance to be a singer professionally, you find out you've got to do a lot of extra things that you didn't necessarily think that you had to do. So when you get there and you become a politician, you have to realize that sometimes you lose a part of who you are. And ladies and gentlemen, that could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing. And the bad thing is we put up with it. Why do we allow people to change based off of what is a current event? You see, when I was in the military, we come into work at 9 o'clock, and we log on to our computers, and we look at our computers, we look at the email, and it says, okay, this needs to be taken care of because the colonel needs this, and so now that the colonel needs this, we've got to jump through hoops to do whatever we need to do. We take care of the problem does not exist anymore. So me being in the military and having to do with these things and having to hurry up and wait and all this stuff, listen, the procedures are the same. Nothing changes. It's all what it is. But what Jeremy Shishill was saying was that his peoples around him are embedded troops in special operations, which is the joint operations that is controlled by the federal government. They don't see the elite soldiers don't report to anybody but the president. And so we've got these elite groups. Not only are there intelligence groups, but there are also signal groups. There's also, as you heard, helicopter groups and airstrike groups that are specifically for these teams. So they have a plethora of means to do whatever mission they need to do. And we are judging the president based off of these things. And I say we should judge the president for these things. Because I've got a lot of, I've told you this before, I do not dislike Obama. He's a very likable president. What I don't like is the fact that he is using policies to destroy or to kill or to maim or to destroy other people based off of intelligence that are not true. And then on top of that, we have collateral damage. See, when I was in Iraq, that's all they told us. We cannot shoot our howitzer, our 109 howitzer, Alpha Deuce, because when we shoot artillery, we're going to make the bed rock. You hear me? We're going to lay some suppressive fire and take out a whole grid. You hear what I'm saying? But we don't want to cause collateral damage. When we're going and doing foot patrols, we can't shoot unless we are shot upon. So you're saying that if we got snipers in the top buildings or something, and the only time that we can go from red to black is when we're being shot upon. Well, somebody gonna get shot, and they might be too late, ladies and gentlemen. But what I'm saying is these are the policies that are given to us at the ground levels, and we must take it like the medicine that we hate to take and eat it. So Ladies and gentlemen, I say this to you. We must build upon on the Bill of Rights. And I've said this to you time and time again. Listen, whether you believe in the boogeyman or you don't believe in the boogeyman, somebody's going to create something to make you believe in the boogeyman. That's all I'm saying. You don't have to, but know it's true. Just like Santa Claus. We know Santa Claus ain't true, but somebody makes him real. The perception is that Santa Claus is real. Do you know that if you tell somebody, child, that Santa Claus is not real, and they go home and tell their parents want to come and lynch you and shoot you in the face because they are lying to the child. Listen, there is no difference between a lie and a lie. If you are lying to your child about Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, and the Tooth Fairy, and all those and above, a lie is a lie. And if you spread that lie year after year, guess what? Jesus Christ is marking it down in his book. Because the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot create an atmosphere of lies, and then when somebody finds out the truth, you want to get mad. How can we get mad at Obama? We can get mad at Obama because he is creating an atmosphere that does not seem to be safe. Whether you are American or non-American, he is creating an atmosphere that is not safe. Same thing with President Bush. He created an atmosphere that was not safe. So how can we, as the American people, still believe in the patriotic ways of America, uphold the Constitution and the justice system that we truly believe in, without having to be mean and evil? I'm not sticking up for President Obama because after that clip, I don't believe in drones. Drones is not, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if y'all think that is bad, you just wait until the real deal comes down. Do you know the drones won't be flying over the Middle East? Oh, no. The drones won't be flying over Pakistan. It's going to be flying over the United States of America. And when you have to accept the mark of the beast and you can't go buy food for your family members, remember, them drones will find you. Listen, they have heat signatures. They've got radio, microwave. They've got thermal, all that stuff, y'all. All that stuff, all that money y'all saying the government should have because we need to protect ourselves from terrorists. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I want y'all to know that bomb, the 9/11 and the bombings and the setups of these Chris Donors and all this stuff, it's going to get worse. Do you know they are building multiple prisons around America ready to scoop up people? Okay? Do your own research. I'm not going to sit here and be a babysitter. But what I do tell you is this. When the time comes, it's already too late. I've been saying this for 4 days now, y'all. 4 days. Here we go.
But first, let me forget the intellectual stuff right now, which I love. And I've got to get down to some personal business, which you'll probably find out about after we leave here. I was standing back in the back waiting to come on when you had your sponsors out here. So when they came by, they passed me, and I did say something to them. And I know they're going to tell you. See, I thank the white dude from Walmart for my cousin. This past Christmas, they had prices so low, he didn't have to shoplift.
But, I mean,
the brother that passed by from ExxonMobil, now a lot of people don't know, they had gift packages for us, you know, and they had an ExxonMobil credit card for gas.
Right.
I gave him mine back, because I said every time I go to Exxon and buy gas, I love water, a gallon of water costs more than a gallon of gas. Can you give me a water card?
Yeah.
The black brother from Wells Fargo, head of the mortgages, I pulled him over and said, I need to talk to you. He said, Brother Greg, you need a mortgage. I said, no, they took my house when times was good. Him,
yes, sir.
I asked for a loan and a cosigner to open up a black business. I want to open up a black airline named Tamika Air. And my motto will be, we leave late, but we get you there on time. White Airlines will be the only one can say we guarantee we won't lose your luggage because you can't bring none with you. And we're going to be a good Christian airline. We ain't selling no alcohol on the plane. You bring your own, we just sell the setup. So I just wanted. That's all. Now to my mayor, Mr. Mayor. I just want you to know how bad things are. When you said Chocolate City, I had just walked in the hotel room. I was in Europe and turned on the news, and I heard you say Chocolate City. I thought you was talking about Hershey, Pennsylvania. And then I heard all the white folk complaining about, you call this town Hershey, Pennsylvania. Look, all my life, they've called this town Sin City, and nobody cares. Deceitful, nasty, ungodly, unspirited. When you said chocolate means love, kindness, tastes good, is good. So do color matter? Let me tell you something. I had a dream last night. Now I'm 75 years old. I dreamed I saw God. Now, being 75, I said, excuse me, Mr. God. Can I have a word with you? He said, yes, my son. I said, you know, they just had a Polish pope. Will we ever get a black pope? He said, yes, my son, but not while I'm God. Son. And finally, let me say this. Thank you. Thank this movement. I'm not talking about the ones we know about. I'm talking about the ones we don't know about. Thank God there is a God that know all the names. And because of this movement, I didn't come up in a civil rights family. Didn't nobody teach me that. I thought everything was okay. I didn't get it at home. And when I heard it at home, I heard it from some ignorant point of view. It's these redneck, uneducated, pot-belly crackers that create the problem. And at 9 years old, I say, since when that type of white boy determined public policy? My problems with the president are Harvard and Yale and MIT and the major corporations, until we leave this little daddy boy alone, we will never deal with it. And so again, I say, where I am from this movement, it gave me a turtle philosophy after looking at that black woman I'm married to and being part of this movement. I am the turtle, hard on the outside, soft on the inside, and willing to stick your neck out. That's what it's about. Huh? That's what it's about. Huh? That's what it's about. And all of us in this movement, I come up as a black man thinking hard on the inside, hard on the outside, but I wasn't hard on nobody but black folks. And looking at my wife deal with 10 black children with softness, then I became soft, the inside. And finally, let me just say this. I'm tired of people talking about this election from the standpoint of fear. Fear and God do not occupy the same space. Listen, I don't want nobody to tell me and tell my grandchildren to go to the polls and vote against something. That's ungodly. With the beauty of this country and all the things we got to vote for, you don't have to tell me about Bush. When I see him on TV, I say to my grandchildren, if he was alive, he'd be a sick man. But my mama was so busy teaching me about the devil, I'm a grown man before I found out the beauty of God. Huh? I don't need to talk about the filth of filth. Speaks for itself. For itself. And I say thanks to the two most powerful folks in the history of America, the black woman and the black church. That's, and I never knew how smart that black woman was till I look at my wife Lillian. That didn't make it. It was when Kobe Bryant got in that mess. You remember, they accused Kobe Bryant of raping a white woman, and he went home and bought his wife a $4 million diamond ring. Let me tell you something. If a white woman accused me of raping her, and I go and give my wife a $4 million diamond ring, she'll go get two more white women. Wherever that ring came from, there's a matching necklace and bracelet. Oh.
Dick Gregory.
Now, let me say this. All we said here, what needs to be said, we think an illegitimate child is a child that don't know where their daddy is. America is an illegitimate child because she has no mother. And this is what the problem is. If I work in a coal mine, in a steel mill, and I come here today and put on a suit but don't take a bath, you got stink sitting up here with you. And what has happened to America, we ain't never cleaned up the filth over 400 years. We just put a new suit on and a new dress on and then wonder who's stinking. It's you the one that's stinking. That's what this is. And until we clean this out, until we clean it up, my mama used to grab me and wash my face. America ain't got no mama that's washing her face.
She'd pick my nose when it needed to be opened up. She'd look in my ears. All we do is we went from this filth we was in to putting on some new clothes, and nobody has said, hey, somewhere we got to apologize. First, the black women. White women's okay, but that black woman went through racist white system and sexist black me. And we ain't never said what you've been through. And in spite of that, look at that black woman. Look at Kathy Hughes. She didn't have the privilege of a ladies' movement when she's putting that empire together. Look at Dorothy Hike, huh? Look at all these women that have come through, the late Dolores Tucker. Look at what's going on now with E. Ray Williams talking about the Journal of Truth. And we will have that statue in the White House. Our women, if you think this sister's just a politician, what she had to go through to get there, because she was a woman. And we have never slowed up and said, thank you, ladies. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And until we do that, until we are able to do that, I look at Dr. Condoleezza Rice. Hear me. And we tolerated. She has more PhDs than the president's whole cabinet. And you hear me too, black folks. They call her Condi, but they never call Madeleine Albright Maddie, never call Janet Reno Janie. Huh? Okay?
That's all right.
They call Henry Kissinger Dr. Henry Kissinger. And let me tell you, she don't see nothing wrong with it. Let me tell you something. They got a soda pop in America. Blacker than her, they call Dr. Pepper. Huh? Huh? Dr. Pepper. Huh? Ladies. Huh? And if you go to the store today when you leave here and don't ask for it by its full title, say, give me a pepper, they'll give you a chili pepper. I wish Bill Clinton was here, so I would apologize to him for you black folks. You black folks tricked him. You went in that big old black pot and said, here, white boy, you black. Huh? And then you went back in that black pot and said, here, Obama, you ain't black enough. What kind of fool is you? Huh? What kind of fool is you? The Ku Klux Klan did not say Obama too white. You did. And so if Bill was here, Mr. Bill, I'm going to apologize to you. Because black folks not only told you, but tricked you. See, I have a son, a chiropractor now, Christian. He's 8 years old. He came to me crying. He said, Dad, my brothers and sisters is laughing at me. I said, why? He said, well, I built me one of these castles, and I make like it's my house. And do you see anything wrong with that? I said, well, how old are you, boy? He said, 8 years old. I said, no, ain't nothing wrong with that until you try start using it as your address. So I tell Bill Clinton, ain't nothing wrong with being black as long as you're playing. But when you try to use it as your address, when you try to use it as your address, then I got some serious questions. Have you and your wife and your daughter ever been standing on a street corner in New York and a cab passed you by because you're the black president? Huh? Huh? Have you ever had Chelsea pulled over by the white police because our daddy's the black president? Mr. President, do you know what it feels like to be a black person? To be a congress lady? Huh? To be a lieutenant governor with 12 doctor's degrees and driving down the street and hear the police siren and you start squeezing that steering wheel tight, and they pass by you, and you thank God. Damn, thanking God. You didn't do nothing in the first place, huh? Do you know what you did? Then you can be black. Huh? Then you black. Huh? Then you black. Until then. Huh? Until then.
Tell it.
Huh?
Tell it, Brother Gregory.
That's what this is about.
That's what we're talking about.
That's what this is about. Huh? And then when you leave, with all the hassle, can you have that love?
Love.
I'm so tired of you black folk walking around looking all evil like that's going to change something. Looking all mean and talking all crazy. Let them tell you about your children. If I sit here today and these are all white folks, and they're putting some sleeping pill in my water, and I sit up here and doze off and go to sleep, and everybody told in the world, niggas is lazy. They tired. No, that's because you too naive enough to know what they putting in my water. Okay? Your children ain't violent because they black. They ain't violent. Most people in the world live in a ghetto. They don't kill people. What are you putting in my malt liquor, white boy? What are you putting in? Huh? Hear me. And it's your fault, too. Malt liquor is made by white companies, but only sold in black neighborhoods, and you ain't checked it to see what's in it. Huh? How much lead are you putting in my neighborhood? Lead affects my thinking capacity. Lead, there's only one thing on the planet more dangerous than lead, and that's manganese. Manganese will make you kill your mama. And let me tell y'all something. If you want to see the largest homicide rate in the world, it ain't in no black ghetto in America. It's a little town in Australia where them white folks' homicide rate is 200 times what their population is. And that town just happened to be located across the street from a manganese plant.
Sit back down, that, Dick. Don't lose that mic. Yeah.
That town is located across the street from a manganese plant. How much manganese are you spraying in my neighborhood at night while I'm asleep? How in the world can a 9-year-old child find a heroin man, but the FBI can't find it, and you going to tell me that's a black thing? Y'all crazy? What is this about? And then black men, as you run off to war and kill folks, liberate folks, then come home in a white cop or a white racist mentality, then shot your mom in the back, and you got to call him. You don't call the United States government. You don't call that bad army. And black men, how? You let cops shoot your mama, your dad, and your daughter in the back and don't do nothing, but you notice they ain't never shot your car. They ain't never took a nightstick and knocked your headlines out. And black men, you should feel ashamed that you think more of your car than you do your mama and you do your daddy. Huh? These are the things that need to change while this brother and sister's on their way to the White House. And when you see Hillary and y'all see Brother Barack, thank him for me. And you white folks need to be thankful. Because if y'all had a brother like me, y'all would really be in trouble. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Okay?
Ladies and gentlemen, Dick Gregory.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dick Gregory, and this was like 2008, the State of the Black Union that was hosted by, Lord, I can't believe I forgot his name. Look up to me in a second, but he held these things every year, And he kind of just kind of like stopped. But that was the reason why I came, I was using the should black people have a black agenda. We talked about this a while. We played that thing with black agenda and stuff. And that's one of the reasons why I said it's so much going on. And, you know, I was talking to my family's members today, and it was very interesting how we see the bigotry, the racism, as you will, and the hatred just because Obama is black. I remember somebody said, oh, I know you're going to vote for Obama just because he's black. And I said, yes, I am going to vote for him because he's black. Now, let me tell you, based off this, if I don't support black people, listen to me good. If I don't support black people, then what good am I? Now, I'm not saying I'm going to give him my vote just based because he's black. I'm going to look at the issues, and I got a while before I make my time before I go to the thing and vote. And I'm not one of the person that would whatever you want to call flip flop. I mean, everybody has a chance to flip flop. If your persuasion, if your stance is a certain way, and they say something that makes sense, do your research and then you go flip it for yourself. What do you do? What do you do when you have nothing to fall back on? You only know your person until today. There's a change of events in your life that will change you to think another way, ladies and gentlemen, i.e., you lose your job. And you've never had that happen to you before. And you've got to go to the unemployment office. And you say to yourself, why am I in the unemployment office? I'm not one of these people. But the point is this, ladies and gentlemen, who are you referring to? I'm not one. Listen, you are entitled. And I know people talk about entitlements. So I'm about to explain to you what this entitlement thing is really about. Ladies and gentlemen, when you lose your job and you cannot get on your feet, you can do this. This is what I want you to do. You can live off your family members. You can go withdraw your 401k. And then when you run out of money because you can't pay for the same and live the same lifestyle like you used to do, oh, believe me, you're going to go to unemployment. Oh, you're going to scream for unemployment. Oh, well, better yet, what happens when you go to retire? You tell me that you're not going to get Social Security because it's an entitlement? That don't make sense. You paid for it ever since you started working, part of your taxes. Okay, well, then don't you think you should get some of that? Okay, all right. Let's say welfare. Do you know majority of the people that go hungry are elderly people and also children and mothers? Okay, so you say that entitlements are not needed, but it's only based on a class. Okay? Now, in America, we talk about these Marxist, socialistic, communistic ideologies that they're thrown out all the time. But the reality is this, ladies and gentlemen. I don't believe in large government, and I don't believe in small government. I believe government should be centered down the lane. And the reason why I believe this is because if you have small government, that means the state has more control than the state. And we all know what happens when the state got control. We all know. We've seen the Civil War. We'll have another Civil War, right? What happens when the government is too big? Okay, well, if the government is too big, then they say that the government is trying to control our lives. The state has no control, no mobility. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, if the government is too big, then we have to come to a consensus where we've got to start gaining power individually ourselves. Because listen, if you believe in democracy, that means that you must believe in representation, right? We the people, for the people, the representation of a government. Okay. So the people that we elect to represent us to the government, then we have the power to do such, right? So in order for us to believe in a democracy, that means that the government itself will be controlled by whom? Us. But it's not working that way, ladies and gentlemen. You know why? Because when they get into that's what I was talking about at the beginning of the segment. When you get into the White House, when you get into a government position, you lose yourself when you give that oath. When you say the oath, you lose some of yourself. Everybody goes in with good intentions. But when they are throwing things at you that you normally would not see, well, they will say that we could make you more than what you think you are. First of all, let's do the background checks on President Bush. Let's do the background checks on President Clinton. Let's do the background checks on George Herbert Bush, Walker Bush. Let's do the background check on President Reagan. Let's do the background check on Jimmy Carter. Let's do the background check on President Nixon. Listen, all these people that I just named are all part of a secret society. Whether you believe it or not, they're all part of a group. Listen, Jimmy Carter was a farmer from, Arkansas? I found it. But he was a small farmer. And he goes from the farmhouse to the big house to the biggest house there is. Come on, y'all. Y'all got to let's get to thinking, all right? Now, let's do the Obama check. We talked about Obama all this week, okay? I've been seeing some really crazy stuff about Obama, okay? First of all, this is what I want to say about the critics. I saw on Facebook, and I know Facebook's not a reliable source, but I had to comment about it. Facebook, they had somebody said that Donald Trump brought up these questions about Obama being a citizen and how can President Obama be on his birth certificate put African American on there because in 1961 they didn't put African American, they put Negroes, which is true because when I'm from Louisiana, they got Negro all day, every day on my birth certificate. But when I go and get my new birth certificate, guess what they put on that? They don't no longer put Negro on birth certificates in 2013. Why? Because it is deemed as an offensive or racial slur. So they don't know what to call black folks. So they just say African American. And that's what's going to be put on my birth certificate in 2013. Okay? Just to get that out there. Okay? Because my copy birth certificate right now say Negro all day, every day. I showed that to my daughter. She said, "Ooh, Lord, they still say Negro? My family in Oregon, my in-laws in Oregon say, what, they got Negro on your face?" Yes, they got Negro. I'm from Louisiana. They didn't care about political correctness back then. I was born in 1977, so I'm giving it to you what you got. Okay, then on top of that, they want to go and discredit his father was from Kenya and he was – listen. None of that matters. None of that matters because his mother was American. She lived in Hawaii. Period. And I've already put it up on my website. If you want to go to it, www.soundofffarm.com.net.org, however you want to look at it, and see the connections between his mother and everybody that she. The only president that Obama's not kin to is President Wolford. He's not kin to him, okay? Don't know how that is, but he's not kin to him. All right? So Dick Cheney and all them are homeboys. They hang out. They might not like each other. But listen, they're all in the same agenda plot. They all, listen, how can, okay, I'll get to that point. Today I went to my daughter's orientation for sixth grade. And the principal was talking, and he gave me an insight that I hardly think about. But I thought about it, and I said, well, dang it, this is how it works, right? Do you want to know how they get the brightest and the best in minorities? Like, well, we know how they do it with the white students. I mean, the same way, too. But they get the brightest and the best minorities. They track them by the what they call the AP classes. The advanced prep classes, right? This is how they do it. And so how many years they are in there, how skillful they are in specifically in these, what they do is it's okay, little Jamal, you live in a ghetto, but I'm telling you, your aptitude for math is really good. You continue to do that. They will make sure that a school that deals with economics or math or whatever, they will get little Jamal there. You know why? Because little Jamal could be used to get himself out of the ghetto and put himself in a position, ladies and gentlemen, to be part of the controlling class. President Obama, President Obama's father was a Kenyan, and he was an economist in Kenya. He was granted a program to bring him to America so he could study. He went to the University of Hawaii, got his BA, got his MA in Harvard, and then he had Obama and had other kids and all that stuff. But you got to realize President Obama's father was part of the Alpha Beta Kappa organization or fraternity, which all of them are together. Okay? They're all together. That's why he's on that list. And then what do you think? This happened by surprise? No. This didn't happen by surprise. They knew who Obama's father was. You best believe this is 1960, 1970. They knew who Obama was. Senior. They asked him to come. The Rockefellers asked him to come over here. Why? Because when he goes back to Africa, they have a pawn that's sitting in where they need to use him at, back in Africa. They can call on him and say, we need a favor. And then he do his bidding. Now, to get back to Obama Jr. must have been tracked in those AP classes. Done so well, ladies and gentlemen, when he got into the Senate seat as a young senator in Illinois, this question was brought up by Louis Farrakhan. He said, who told Senator Obama as a junior senator that he could one day be president? Listen, it's not about what you know, it's who you know. And if you know somebody in high places, which his father did, which his mother who was connected to all those people, listen, you don't go and marry just anybody. He married Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama's a strong black lady with a good degree. Let's look her up. Because I ain't did no research on Michelle Obama. But I know she's part of the CFR, of the Council of Foreign Relations. Michelle Obama. Yes. Michelle Obama was born in 1964. She was an American lawyer and writer. Okay? And she was raised on the south side of Chicago Obama attended Princeton University and Howard Law School. This Negro is super ass smart. How you gonna listen? You go to Princeton and Howard? I mean Harvard? Come on now. Anyway, so they met each other in Chicago. Okay, that's how they did it. So, I'm not gonna throw all her business out there. Y'all can go find it and all that stuff. But Michelle Obama, let's see, she's 49. She's from Chicago, Illinois. She is, she's part of, she went to Princeton, got an AB, and she went to Harvard and got a JD. Now, listen, let me tell you right now. This lady is smarter than a whip. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Smarter than a whip. Oh, she attended Whitney Young High School. We talked about Whitney Young, how he was paid by the Rockefellers to coordinate certain things through the Negro League, and also the Rockefeller Foundation. He got a scholarship from the Rockefellers, and then they also use money funding from the to fund and upraise the National Advancement of Color People, the NAACP, right? So, listen, these people are connected somehow, some way. Listen, on top of that, it's a magnet school, ladies and gentlemen. It's a magnet school. What's a magnet school for black folk? It's one of those schools where they're tracked, a tracking school. So, listen, I'm not going to sit here and talk about Michelle Obama, because Michelle Obama is who she is. She married to the man that it is. And all I'm going to say is this, is Michelle Obama is a powerful, knowledgeable, smart black woman, and you don't want to mess with her. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm going to say, okay? That's all I'm going to say. Because if you look at Laura Bush wasn't even on that. Laura Bush is like, I don't want to even be a part of that. I don't want to I don't want to even speak on it, y'all. Okay? So, there's a lot of things that can be said to be true or false about everybody in this world, depending on where you want to get your research from, and you want to take and run with it, that's up to you. But all I'm going to say is, man, it is important that we get back to the basics. And the basics is understanding what's happening. Now, I'm going to play this out a little bit, and then we'll talk about it, okay? So here we go. I hope you can listen, hear it. If you can't, I'm going to try to put it as close to the mic as possible. Okay, it's as loud as it's going to get. Okay, here we go.
Morgan tonight. I welcome my audience here in the studio. I can promise you, this will be like an hour like you've never heard before, with a man who's never afraid to say exactly what he thinks. Jesse Ventura, the ex-Navy. Do you agree or disagree with the recent release book by the six-member SEAL team and the objections of the Pentagon?
I don't have a problem with it. The op was over a year ago, and I feel I have a right to know what went on, because our entire military is paid by my tax dollars, and I believe I have every right to know what they spend my tax dollars on. And I also would like to hear from boots on the ground. I don't want to hear from the media what happened in the op. I don't want to hear from bureaucrats in Washington what happened on the op. I would like to hear from boots on the ground, somebody that was actually there, so that I can make a determination.
But how did it help, Jesse? My brother's a British Army colonel and has done tours of Afghanistan, Iraq, and so on.
Sure.
How does it help operationally if all the guys around are all wondering who's going to put this in a book? I mean, surely,
well,
they all sign up, don't they, to not write about their experience?
Well, he's out now. He's a civilian now. And I just, to me, he has the First Amendment rights, or he should have them. if he's not giving away anything that's listed under national security or that could affect anyone in the future operations, I say why not? Like I said, I'd like to hear from boots on the ground what actually happened there, not some fragmented story that comes out of Washington telling me what happened. So I don't have. And besides, you, the media, and the SEALs themselves have allowed themselves to become like the Green Berets in the 60s and 70s now. I don't like the fact that you even know we exist, because back in the 60s and 70s, nobody even knew who we were. Well, that's out of the bag now. Hollywood's made plenty of films. You've had my friend Dick Marcenko, who created SEAL Team 6. He's written a half a dozen books. So if the creator of SEAL Team 6 can write books about what they do, what the heck? If he doesn't put in jeopardy anyone, why is our government so up in arms about that he does this?
What we're all agreed on is that the death of Osama bin Laden was a good thing. But be honest, is America any safer now than it was when he was killed? Or from all we're seeing now in the Middle East, all the uprisings, all the kind of reverse Arab Spring, if you like, are you concerned that it may be a hornet's nest is getting out of control?
No, because I think that lots of times these uprisings are orchestrated. I believe in the works of Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty when he said, nothing just happens, everything is planned. I truly believe that. And so these uprisings that are happening right now, we don't know really who's behind them. They could be our own CIA helping to do it.
Right, well,
who knows?
But did we know who we were backing? I mean, that's one of the key questions.
Backing at what?
Well, in Libya, in Egypt.
I have no idea.
You know, all of these countries. When you oppose a Mubarak or a Gaddafi or something, did we really know who these rebels were? And are we now, perhaps, seeing the results of not knowing too well who they are?
We're here wanting to give democracy to people who have lived, in my opinion, in the Stone Age. I think the bigger question to ask is, here we go, another religious war. Because most every war that happens on this planet is due to the fact of religion. One religion doesn't like the way another religion worships God, so we're going to kill you. I love religion, you know, and I say that sarcastically.
I've
openly admitted I'm an atheist.
I thought you said earlier that all wars were about, you know, oil and corporations.
They are, but they're all religious-based, too.
So they're all about religion and oil and corporations.
Could be,
and
sure.
And occasionally getting rid of the Nazis.
Yeah.
So my point is,
the Nazis was religious too. Look what they did to the Jews. So that brought religion in. Vietnam was religious because Diem, our puppet president, Vietnamese down to the south to be the government. Well, the southern Vietnamese didn't like these religious characters from up north, so they then became the Viet Cong. So all wars, pretty much in my lifetime, have had some religious basis, but certainly big business gets in there because wars are very profitable to certain big businesses. And, of course, big business needs to be in the Middle East so that we can get the oil out of the Middle East, so we can get the lithium out of Afghanistan. You know, they discovered a vein of lithium there. They say it's worth $1 trillion. Well, what is lithium used for? Every cell phone, computer, and soon-to-be electric cars. Let's talk about why we're really there. We're not there. How does any of these wars affect our freedom in any way? The United States is not in any threat. They're not going to do a Normandy invasion on us, Al-Qaeda in Virginia.
No, but hang on. You're being fucking naive, aren't you? Because
I think you are being naive. No.
I think that it's clear one of the main reasons that America went into Afghanistan was to try and get Al-Qaeda dismantled, the organization which committed the 9/11 atrocity.
Really?
Well, you don't think so?
Well, how come Al-Qaeda put the heroin business out? They took all the poppy growers and stopped the production of heroin.
What would you do?
Wait. Now, how much of that illegal heroin was propping up the international banks with laundered money, and when it dried up, the first recession happened? Well, now that we're back in there, we aligned with the poppy growers, and the heroin business is back up full swing again. Well, I thought we'd fight a war on drugs here.
All right. Jesse,
we're not.
What would you have done on September the 12th, 2001, what would you have done if you'd been president?
What would I have done?
Yeah.
I would have done a legitimate investigation to find out what exactly happened on 9/11. How did they know who did this so quickly like they did Lee Harvey Oswald? How quick they knew Lee Harvey Oswald killed Kennedy.
Because the people who did it were identified and we knew who they were.
Well, then why couldn't we have stopped them beforehand if they were identified and we knew who they were?
It was a failure of intelligence. Everyone's accepted.
No, it wasn't. We knew before with Condoleezza Rice's memo on August 6th when it stated right in the memo, Bin Laden to steal planes and run them into buildings. And more stuff is coming out now also, how much the Bush administration ignored the intelligence. It was almost like they ignored it because they wanted it to happen.
Oh, come on, Jimmy.
No, not oh, come on. Wait a minute. Every war starts with a false flag operation.
You can't, in all seriousness, sit there and try and make anybody...
Let me ask you something. How much studying have you actually done of 9/11 other than what the government's told you and what mainstream media has told
actually.
You? I've been studying it for years.
Of a national newspaper.
I've talked to people every day for five, six months. Really?
So I know all about it.
Let me ask you this.
You cannot say that any member of the Bush administration knew it was going to happen or wanted it to happen. It's a ridiculous thing to say.
Ridiculous. Okay, let's talk about your BBC. I have a tape of a BBC reporter broadcasting directly back to England talking about a third building has collapsed, World Trade Center Building 7, talks for 7 minutes. All the while she's talking, World Trade Center Building 7 is still standing right behind her. It didn't fall for another half hour. Yet, they were doing a pre-broadcast back to England that this building fell and it hadn't fallen yet.
You're trying to make out the British Broadcasting Company, one of the most respected news organizations in the world, was inventing huge buildings falling over. You need to have a break, Jesse. We'll come back after the break and we'll talk about Israel and Iran.
Are you kidding me? This is a fact, my friend.
About 9/11 and so on. Let's move on to...
Oh, and the government only has a theory.
Right, well, the government has...
No, this is a theory. Their theory is 19 Islamic radicals armed with box cutters defeated our multi-billion-dollar air defense system, all while conspiring with a bearded guy in a cave in Afghanistan.
That is exactly what
happened. That's their theory.
No, that's not a theory. It's a fact.
That's their theory.
No,
that's a fact.
That's what happened.
Really?
Yes, I'm sorry to kill your conspiracy theories, but that is what happened.
Then why haven't anyone been brought up for trial?
Because they haven't given
one shred of evidence
in
the trial.
They all died. In case you missed the story.
Well, then what do we got all these guys in Gitmo for? And we got the supposed confessor to it, who they waterboarded 180 times to get the confession. Got news for you, Piers. If they waterboarded you 180 times, you'd confess to it.
Now you're missing the point. On that very point, I don't agree with Guantanamo Bay. I didn't agree with the waterboarding, personally. But let's move on. Let's move
all
on
right.
to Iran and Israel. If you were the American president, with all the jungle drums beating now about Iran, would you take any military action?
Well, first let me state that Iran has to do this. Because if you notice, the United States doesn't mess with any country that's got nuclear capabilities. They only mess with countries that don't. So all countries that don't have it strive to get it because it's a safety mechanism to have it. So of course Iran's going to try to get the stuff.
Should they be allowed to have it?
Should they be allowed to? I don't know.
Well, yes or no?
I don't know.
You're a man of opinions.
No, I don't. You may be running for office.
You're entitled to know what you think.
Not right now, you don't. I need to study it more.
Very
I need
convenient.
To yes, it is very convenient.
Do you know about everything that happened before 9/11? But right now, when you have Iran potentially nuking itself up, you don't have an opinion.
Well, let's leave that up to the nuclear inspectors that go in there. They will tell us whether they're nuking it up before you decide to bomb them.
I didn't decide to bomb anybody.
No, but you seem to be very favorable.
I try to put words into my mouth all the time, which is it's not a very good technique when you're debating with somebody. Just
you're going to see, well, how many political offices have you held?
None.
Then don't tell me how to debate, because I've held two.
Oh, I've debated many times.
You've never won an election where a debate was required.
I think you make some very sensible points, and you make some crackpot points.
That's your opinion?
Yes.
How many people here think I make crackpot points?
Yes.
One. How many think I make sensible points? You're in the minority, my good friend. You're the minority.
I said you made some sensible points. This is another audience question from Jared Grossman. Ask your question, Jared.
Hello, Governor.
Yes.
I'd like to know why you think that politics in America today, why has it become so polarized and why has it become so hate-driven, and how do you think we can fix that?
Well, politics in America, the problem, the major problem is the Democrats and Republicans, as I explain in my book, Democrats and Republicans, No More Gangs in Government, they've created a system based completely on bribery. Now, if we do bribery, it's hypocrisy. If we do bribery in the private sector, we go to jail. Yet their entire political system is based upon bribery. Who can bribe and give the most money to the politician? And now, thanks to our illustrious Supreme Court that ruled that corporations have the same rights as individuals and that money is free speech, well, we're now being inundated with so much money from the corporations buying the Democrats and Republicans both sides that look at this hypothetically. A foreign country could now control our elections because all they would have to do is form a corporation, start pumping money into the super PACs, plus there's no, they don't have to say where the money comes from, which is criminal. Every candidate should have to state openly, open disclosure, where they get every dollar. You're not getting that now. So the whole system is corrupted now. The Democrats and Republicans are at fault because they've been in charge for 150 years. They can't pass the buck on it. And until they clean up the system, that's what you got. It's bribery.
Jesse, I'm shocked. I disagree with every word you just said.
No, you just want to get the crowd back on your side.
I agreed with every word. I think the whole super PAC thing is completely out of control. You're right. In the end, China right now could finance a run for the presidential election with one of their sponsored people from one of their companies.
I think that this ruling could be the downfall of our country. And the only way we can stop it is to amend the Constitution.
Yeah, I agree.
The only way you can overrule the Supreme Court, and we need to do that.
Let's take a break, Jesse. Okay. We'll come back and talk about Clint Eastwood, the empty chair, and gun control.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I had to play that because he said a lot. Jesse DeBaldi said a lot about a lot of things in there. And when you look at his body of work, he has sat in the hot seat for a long time. For you young people who are listening to this broadcast, Jesse DeBaldi Ventura used to be a WWF wrestler. They used to call him Jesse the Body Ventura. He also has stated that he was a former Navy SEAL operative, and he has served his country. Okay, and a lot of people think very differently once they get out of service. And like I said, you can't call somebody who has been in operations to see things that you have never seen, if you've never experienced it, and if you have experienced it, you come out in a different way, in a different mentality, depending on where you come from, who do you know, and your background. And when I say your background, I'm talking about the background in which you have lived. So, in one of these clips, there was a Navy SEAL who met up with Jesse, the body, and he was I just call him Governor, Governor Ventura, and he said he punched him in the mouth. Now, you got all these news anchors talking about, yes, he should have done it because Jesse the Body Ventura, Governor Ventura is anti-American, he's anti-this. Listen, everything that he has stated can be referenced and be brought up anytime, any day of the year. Now, Morgan has got his claim to fame from Celebrity Apprentice. That is how he got on TV. How can you let a British man come in our country and then try to mislead you into thinking certain ways? Unless he's part of the people who started throw us off. How can he be on TV taking Larry King's place, the icon Larry King, come in and try to determine public policy for us, which he has no authority on trying to tell somebody he's wrong or right. Man, let's really think about that. Who is this guy? Where did he get his claim to fame from? Who's he working for? These are questions that you really got to ask before you start jumping on his bandwagon. We don't know this guy. But yet and still, he's calling the governor some type of fool and moron, and just insulting him. And then, if you noticed, he said, you knew everything about 9/11, and all of a sudden you don't have no idea what's going on. And the governor said, listen, let them go in and do their job, and then I'll tell you how I'll feel. That's the reality of how they try to shake and bake you. Trying to make him look like, you know, now all of a sudden he's scared to come out with his own. No, the man knows the system. He knows how to answer a question, ladies and gentlemen. He's not going to be irrational like some Americans and say, matter of fact, that was at the bombing that I was watching the clip. It said that one of the senators says, good, bleep, once they catch that butthole, he should, they said the A word, but they should immediately persecute him and kill him. Is that due process? Are we still living in the Wild Wild West? Come on, ladies and gentlemen. This is a democracy. Remember, this is a democracy. We don't go on emotions. We don't play games. Everybody's due that due process. They are Americans. They were Americans. So don't start jumping on the bandwagon, kill them, unless you really know the facts. But they give you cold words like, they were Muslim. Oh, they're from a Muslim family. They're from Chechnya. They're from, listen, they don't know what, come on. Let's be Americans. Let's use our American education that was given to us. you learned that in civics, right? Oh, some of y'all did. I don't know. Some of y'all took civics, you know. And I say this, I believe in the public school system. But you can only believe in the public school system to the point where What are you gonna get? Are you gonna get your bang for the buck? Or are they gonna keep on closing down schools because they can't afford to keep schools open? I mean, come on, what kind of sense does that make? But yet and still, you want to talk about people want handouts? Well, people can't even get jobs because they keep closing down schools. And you know the schools that they're closing down ain't the ones that have a high, as they call, income bracket. We can't afford to keep these schools closed. So what they say, oh, well, we need to bust these schools. We need to bust these kids over here. Just like segregation. You think segregation was about letting blacks into schools? Come on, man. It's all economically based. And then, listen, you ask me, do I know this for a fact? No, I don't know this for a fact. But I tell you, psychologically, when those people had to go through school, they had to go through some severe traumatic situations. And it's all based off of how they feel. How they feel. You hear me? It's not based off of how the people that was trying to oppress them feel. Not one bit. Those people had to go through some crazy stuff. But, you know, nobody want to talk about that. Nobody want to talk about that. Nobody want to bring up the the hardships, the emotional trauma that these people was put through. And not only with that emotional trauma going through now, but they have taught their children to be passive. And this is why we're in this situation right now. Do you want to be passive? Do you want to be passive? I'm asking. Do you want our children to be passive, or do you want our children to be strong, have an idea who they are, and if they don't agree with something, they feel free enough to state their opinion? But no, that is not the type of government that world that y'all want. Y'all want people to be oppressed. You see, when Justice Ventura is coming out and giving you factual information, he's led to believe to be a heretic. He's insane. He doesn't know what he's talking about. These are the same things that, once again, that was brought up, that I brought up and I told you, what they tell you and they implement into this society to make people look a certain way. If you discredit somebody enough, they will be discredited. But no longer are we being befooled by the trickery of these people. There's still people out there who don't believe. And if you don't believe, ladies and gentlemen, that the tide is changing, when he asked, Jesse Ventura asked, did he think that he was a buffoon or thought he was crazy by the things he said, the audience, about 99% of the audience said Jesse the Body was right on target. You hear that? Right on target, ladies and gentlemen. So only one person who didn't clap. Why didn't they? Hey, listen, I don't know why they clapped. They didn't believe him. That's fine. But you guys best believe there's a tide that's turning, and the tide that's turning is turning in the favor of the people. And we will not be betwixt and go around like we just don't understand what's going on. We want answers. And you talking about these Republicans want answers. No, listen. If you want answers about something that's going on, let's talk about this. The understanding of reality is I will not stand to be looked up as a fool. Period. Don't care. Don't know where you're from, don't know what you want to do, but we know the truth. And the truth being this, we will fight until the end. We're going to fight. And not only will we fight, but we're going to get it up. Yeehaw! We're going to get it up. Yeehaw! Get it up. I love talking about stuff like this. You know why? Because the truth is coming out. Now, Governor Ventura said that he proclaimed himself to be an atheist. That's him and his business. I'm not going to judge him for that. If that's what he chooses to believe in, that's what he chooses to believe in, y'all. But what's important to me is that he has been in the higher echelons of government. He understands the policies and the trickeration. Huh? This is not coming from somebody who hasn't been through the ringer, y'all, ladies and gentlemen. This is not no ordinary person who just all of a sudden start making stuff up on the top of his brain. No, 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 no. This man has served as a governor, huh? Of Minnesota. So when he's talking, maybe some of the stuff he's saying is not true. Okay. Let's say 60% of what he's saying is true, right? 60% he's saying is true. Who's going to account for the other half that we're working on? He's been to the HAARP place in Alaska. They wouldn't let him in. We know that the HAARP facility exists. There's one there. There's one in the Dominican Republic. And there's one in in Alaska. So you can't tell me they can't control the weather, ladies and gentlemen. If you never heard of HAARP, please go Google it, look it up, find out what we're talking about, get with the current events. This is important. It's important for you and our children. I don't get on this talk show to just hear myself talk, even though I like to hear myself talk. But it's important that you understand who you are and what you need to do in order to do what's right. Man, if y'all could just hear what I'm saying. If y'all could just hear what I'm saying. Come on. Can we have some reality? Can we get some likeness of? Man, I tell you. Whew. I like it. And not only do I like it, but I love it. I love being able to just sit back, watch it unfold, and see the truth and the reality of everything that is going to happen. Now, am I going to be 100% right about everything? Ain't nobody 100% right about everything. But we do know that something's gonna go down, and what side of the fence you gonna be on. So my name is George Beverly, and this is Sound Off Forums. Next time I hear you, you should be sounding off. Good night, and I love you.